It's Monday, July the 6th, and you're listening to the Three Nerds in a Basement podcast. I'm Vince.
And I'm Anthony.
And this is the Geek Chic Culture Show. We talk about all the cool things in the world. As you may have noticed, we're down one.
Blandino, Blavin, yeah. Jaramillo.
As he alluded to last week, he is in Montreal.
Drinking absinthe, probably.
So is that what he's doing?
Probably.
I thought he was there for some card game.
Yeah, but, you know, after he bottoms out on the card game, he's gonna get on that absinthe train.
Actually, he should be on his way home now, right?
Really? Oh, yeah, true.
Right. Do you know how he's doing?
No clue. I didn't even realize he left until there was a picture of him on Facebook wrapped in hotel sheets.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, I remember he was... Last time I talked to him... I can't remember.
Podcast?
No.
Last podcast?
No. Oh! He called me, like... I think Thursday is like 1?
Okay. In the morning?
Yeah.
What?
He's like, can I use your driveway? I'm like, for what?
Oh.
Yeah.
I know why.
Yeah, and then I'm like, sure.
Just park on the street, man.
Sure. Whatever. Do what you want.
Blavin.
And then I heard a car, and then I heard the Blavin giggles as he was walking down the street.
Makes sense. Sounds like him.
And we'll leave it at that.
I'm glad to know nothing has changed.
Anyways, we did a thing this week.
We did. Wait. Yeah. What?
You can't tell where I'm going with this.
Well, I don't know. Like, what did we... Like, it's reviews? Like, what are we...
I was going to go there, but I'm going to switch it to Happy Canada Day, everybody.
Oh, yeah. Yo, I shot fireworks out of a toilet.
Yeah, you really were in Redneck City.
No, that was in Mississauga. That was in Richville.
Oh.
One of my cousins brought a toilet to my other cousin's house in Mississauga.
Like a brand new...
No, it was old. It was like, it doesn't work anymore. And so we filled the toilet bowl with sand, and then we put fireworks in it, and then brought that toilet to the park. And then shot fireworks out of a toilet.
Well, that sounds safe.
Yeah, no, it wasn't. My one cousin was just like, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to sit on this toilet while fireworks shoot from my crotch.
Did his pants catch fire?
No, luckily.
Oh, okay. Because that doesn't sound safe.
Because what happened is that it turns out the firework we shot wasn't a Roman candle. It was a fountain.
Oh!
And so it shot just in a way where it went over him and not on him.
That's unfortunate. That's unfortunate.
Good times.
Also, happy Independence Day to our neighbors to the south.
Oh, good old 4th of July.
Yep. I've noticed everybody celebrating in the US of A.
I celebrated the 4th of July by watching Japanese fireworks.
How very patriotic.
I know, right? I outsourced my fireworks.
Good for you. I watched anime all day.
Oh, okay. So. At least we're on the similar Nihonji
yeah.
train.
Yeah. But yes, we got a review for you this week, and it's an anime review, as luck would have it. It's been a while since we did an anime review. Can't remember the last time we talked about one, but we figured this one was big enough that we had to get our input on it.
It's arguably the biggest of the year.
Yeah, it's the biggest since Sailor Moon Crystal.
Mm-hmm.
It comes from a similar time period as well.
When great shows ruled the earth,
mm-hmm.
and names like... Trey's Kutranada were in shows.
No, we're not talking about Gundam. We're talking about the new Dragon Ball Super. It's highly anticipated. The first new animated Dragon Ball series in 20 years.
Where can people watch this show, Vince?
Nowhere.
Nowhere?
Nowhere.
Man. Not even on Crunchyroll?
Nope.
Dang.
And even I don't think Crunchyroll will even get it. Funimation.
Oh, true. It's a Funimation thing.
Yeah.
Sorry, we got to switch ads. Like, one-stop shop for anime is Funimation now.
You should be watching.
You should be watching.
But, yeah, no. Dragon Ball Super, first brand new Dragon Ball series in 20 years. And what's significant about this one is that, unlike GT, which is pretty much panned by the fans.
It's also null and void now.
I don't know. I still think it's canon.
Is it? Oh, yeah. Okay.
Super is the unlike GT, Super actually is written by the original manga creator, Akira Toriyama. That's his name, right?
Akira Toriyama.
Yes. Setting takes place in between the end of the Buu saga and the last episode of Z. Mm-hmm. If you can't remember, don't really worry about it. I mean, the last episode of Z doesn't really matter.
It's like a time skip, right?
Yeah, it's a world tournament. Boo comes back as Oob.
Oob. He's a good dude.
And they fight in the world tournament, and he instantly becomes as strong as Goku.
Yeah.
And then they're like, we're off the train. Bye.
Okay, peace out.
Yeah, as you do when you're Goku. Anyway, so this takes place in between those two events, and it just continues the story. And this first episode, there's not really much to sum up. It's more like an introduction to the series.
Yeah, like nothing significant happens, but it introduces enough characters where you can kind of see what's going to happen next.
It does seem like the main villain is going to be that god.
From Battle of the Gods.
Yeah, Beerus.
Beerus-sama?
Yes, Beerus.
I forget his assistant's name.
Assistant.
Assistant-sama? Okay.
Yeah, I can't remember his name. But yes, Andy, did you like Dragon Ball?
I like Dragon Ball a lot. Enough to where, we've probably mentioned this story on the podcast a bunch, but over here in Canada, we have a little thing called YTV. And what they used to do is when it was the final episode of an important arc in Dragon Ball, they wouldn't show that episode. They would restart the whole series from the beginning and then move forward when it caught up again.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was garbage.
Took years to get through
that show. It took years to get through Dragon Ball Z. It was crazy. And, like, I watched every re-airing of, like, all the episodes. And, like, little good that did me, because, like, I could barely remember Dragon Ball Z. But, like, I really love Dragon Ball Z. It was my favorite show on at the time.
Of course. So. I don't think there's any young male who grew up in the 90s who wouldn't agree with you.
Yeah. And, like, even more so, like, than, like, because, like, Gundam Wing was on at that time. Inuyasha and all that stuff. Like, there are some good shows, but, like, nothing really stood the test of time like Dragon Ball, especially in North America.
Yeah, I'm surprised it's still as popular as it is today, mm-hmm. if not more popular.
Yeah.
And I suppose that's because of Kai. So you were looking forward to this.
Yeah, I was. It was a nice surprise because I was looking forward to it for a while and it felt like it would never come. And then I just kind of forgot about it for a second.
Yeah.
And then you're like, yo, dog, we're reviewing Dragon Ball Super. And I'm like, yeah, it's here.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm really pumped. I'm going to be following the show, like,
religiously.
Like, yeah, release by release, so.
Yeah, cool.
What about you, like?
Yeah, no, I agree. I started watching Dragon Ball when I was, from as far as I can remember. Like, my earliest memories were always waking up Saturday morning at 6 to watch, it was the Sanrio show.
Okay.
Because my sister would watch that. And then after that would be Dragon Ball.
And you'd be like, yeah.
So I'd watch that.
See, I always caught, like, episodes of Dragon Ball here and there.
Yeah.
But I never followed it. So, like, there was one part where he loses his tail. And there's, like, another part where he destroys a castle. And, like, that's all I really remember.
Yeah. Like, I can't remember the end of how it ended, Dragon Ball. Mm-hmm. I just remember Goku's older. And that's where Z starts.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no. But then Z, of course, followed that like a maniac. I remember even... collecting the cards. There was collectible card thing going on.
Yeah, they didn't do anything. You just collected them. Or did they do something?
No, there was one that was a card game. I never knew how to play it.
Oh. I think I had them where they were just the character cards.
Oh, yeah.
They were equivalent of hockey cards.
Yeah, and like the special all gold.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I had those.
Stupid.
Greatest cards. But yeah, no, I love Dragon Ball Z. My favorite arc was always the Majin Buu arc.
That's a good one.
I know for most fans it's the Frieza saga.
It's that one's just classic though, because like that's at least where everyone watched up to.
Yeah.
If they didn't follow it all the way to the end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I never Cell was okay. Like I only like the Cell arc because of one aspect of it,
mm-hmm.
and that was always Future Trunks because he was my favorite.
Future Trunks is baller.
Might even was my favorite. He is my favorite.
He's got a sword.
He's from the future.
He's got a sword.
And I always tell people, if you're going to watch one Dragon Ball movie, watch the Future Trunks one.
It's like the best Enzo is Future Enzo.
Sure.
Because he's got that sick eye that targets
Oh, them. Yeah. No one's going to understand your reboot reference.
Well, whatever, man. If you get it, you are truly Canadian.
Apparently.
Truly.
Oh, God.
The most Canadian.
But yeah, no, Super is here. I was pumped.
Then you were disappointed.
No. But I kept looking online. I'm like, who's gonna simulcast it? Crunchyroll, no. Funimation, Hulu Plus? None of them.
Yeah.
I had to, shame to say it, I had to source other means.
We didn't want to. It was forced upon us.
Yep. I even had to source out separate subs. Because there was no group who did it.
And also the subs were like...
Horrible.
Horrible. Not horrible subs, but they were...
Yeah, you know what? As someone who grew up on fan subs, I gotta say, making the jump to Crunchyroll
getting
fucking ruined.
Getting spoiled, man. Bud?
Like, professionally done subs. Like, man.
Oh, the worst. Have you ever got fan subs that were like, it was, I had one, I downloaded the original Mazinger, and it was Japanese, translated into Chinese, and then translated into English.
Wow.
So, like, the English translation had, like, 2 degrees of separation from the original
that
language.
Sucks.
And nothing made sense.
Oh, my God. That sucks. No, for me, the worst fan subs are the ones where, like, they don't write them in, like, a sans serif script.
Yeah.
So, or they have, like, a cursive script, and it's in multiple colors. I'm like, I can't read this.
Stuff like blending into the background and
yeah, like the worst are when they don't have the outline around
the
words. But that's besides the point. Dragon Ball Super is here. We've stalled enough. Anthony, tell me what you thought about Dragon Ball Super.
Dragon Ball Super reminded me a lot of what I remember of Dragon Ball, which is a lot more comedy and a lot less action. So like it does pick off after the events of the Cell saga. Yes. Or was it so? Cell, I always mix those two up. Cell was before Boo?
Yeah.
Okay, so after the Boo saga. So you're meeting up a bunch of characters. You meet Mr. Satan again. You meet up with Goku and his son, Goten. Chi-Chi's there. Not long enough.
Of course.
She's the best.
Okay.
but yeah, it was a lot of comedy, and it's a lot of plot setting and like scenario setting up, right?
Yes.
So not a lot happens, but like the stuff that's in there, they give you... like if you haven't watched Dragon Ball before, they give you a good idea of what these characters are like. Like Goku's just a man child. Goten is like this pure hearted child who wants to do and help his family in any way.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. Gohan's a total dork now.
He was always a dork.
Yeah. But now especially, he's like sick. I got a book from the bookstore.
Yeah, but you can't say that.
Sup, Poindexter.
Gohan was also the only one who actively became a Kamen Rider.
True. True. He did become the Sandman.
Yeah.
but yeah, like, it's, like, there's nothing core Dragon Ball in here that I can be like, oh man, it's like that time when he powered up a spirit bomb forever, right? There's like nothing like that I can say to people who just remember Dragon Ball and haven't watched it in a while. But it is great. It is a great setting, and it's a great starting point for what is to come. And what will inevitably be, like, world-ending laser beams and stuff like that.
Yes.
So, yeah, it's just, like, based on the first episode alone, it's Dragon Ball. And it's kind of hard for me to recommend it if you haven't watched Dragon Ball in a while, because I'm, like, I'm a big fan of that.
Yeah.
Right? I'm, like, coming from this super jaded viewpoint.
Yeah. Jaded?
Or not jaded, sorry. Super fan viewpoint. I used the wrong word.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't put down my rose-colored glasses for this series. They're attached to my face.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. It's just really good. Yeah, like, it's everything I wanted.
No, I hear you, too. I mean, I am, unfortunately, super jaded on Dragon Ball Z now.
Okay.
I still, like, enjoy it, and I understand why there's a big following, but it doesn't do what it used to do for me anymore.
Yeah, and it's just the fact that it's older, right? Like, storytelling has evolved. Like, you don't have to sit there for 5 episodes charging up a laser beam.
Yeah.
Right? Like, there's ways to... Like, in newer shows, they've streamlined that process a lot more.
Yeah, and... but no, I was excited for this, especially because, like you said, it is very reminiscent... Or it tonally feels like Dragon Ball.
Yeah.
And I've always liked Dragon Ball more, even though Dragon Ball was a bit weird. in its perversion in some spots.
It was early Japan. Japan just didn't give an F back then.
Yeah. Like, I can't defend that, but I always like that. That's why I like the most recent movie a lot, Battle of the Gods, because that totally was what I wanted, and it felt so much fun, but it gave you the action.
From Z.
Yes. The one thing that, when you watch this immediately, you'll notice is just the animation.
Yeah, because they do that thing at the beginning.
Where they show you what this looked like.
Yeah, they just show you straight up old Dragon Ball Z, and you're like, no way that looked like that.
And they don't show you old. They show you, like, the newest of the old
stuff. Yeah, it's like the final arc, right?
Yeah.
And then it switches over to the new hotness.
Yeah.
It's like, man, that's old.
Yeah. I mean, if you've got the Blu-rays to Dragon Ball Kai and you think those look good, you are mistaken.
Yeah.
Yeah, but... So yeah, it looks great. I always enjoy seeing these characters not in their traditional fighting costumes.
Just like civvy clothes?
Yeah. I love seeing Goku and Vegeta in just wearing whatever.
Because again, we said Vegeta always has that button-up shirt that's buttoned up all the way to the top.
Like, yeah. Because I think I remember in, I think, the later episodes of Z, his button-up is like a Hawaiian shirt.
Yeah.
Yeah. I always like that.
He's getting into those dad shirts.
Yeah, and I'm like, oh, you're the best. You're the best. But yeah, no, so... It's like, yeah, I pretty much agree with everything you said. It's fun. There's not really much that goes on. This is going to be something that's interesting to keep up with. I'd be curious to know what your thoughts are, like, once we're 10 episodes in.
Yeah. I'd like to have, like, a midway review or something.
Yeah, like, we'll have to come back and talk about it again. We'll pick certain episodes to come back and talk about it. And we'll have to get Blaven's opinion, too, because I'm sure he was a fan.
Yeah.
Was he a fan?
I'm like... We said at the top of the show that there's no way you weren't a fan.
Yeah, but Blaven wasn't born here.
Oh, yeah, he's in the Philippines.
And, yeah. TJ?
Yeah?
Is Blaven a fan of Dragon Ball?
I don't know.
This is such a confusing question.
Every time we talk about, like, classic anime, I know he brings up Gundam.
Yeah, he brings up Gundam, he brings up old robots.
Yeah, he grew up with different stuff.
Yeah.
He grew up on the Sunrise train, so he knows about, like, Braves, like Galgaigar, and he knows about...
My game.
Yeah, maybe he doesn't.
Like, I'm sure he knows who everyone is.
Yeah, at this point, it's impossible not to know.
Yeah, but, I just wonder if he, like, actively likes it.
Yeah. That's curious.
We should ask him.
Blaven.
Where are you?
When we need you most, you have forsaken us.
Pretty much.
But yeah, no. Though, here's my big thing about this show. The reason I don't like Dragon Ball now, and it's something that Kai tries to address, is that, and this is kind of like the whole, at this point, it's like the what makes Dragon Ball Dragon Ball. It's the 10 episodes of charging in 5 minutes.
Of actual action.
And then back to charging.
Yeah.
And I've always thought that if they redo Dragon Ball, they'd make another one. I would like to see what it would look like as a proper, like, 26-episode series with a proper arc.
It's going to be 12 episodes of story, and then 11 episodes of spear bomb charging.
Don't say that.
And then a final episode where he drops it.
No. But no, I want to know if this is going to be like that, like a serious 26 full story arc. You know, we have our proper act 1, act 2, act 3, proper character development and such.
I don't see how they can't do that, because even with the Dragon Ball name, I don't think that type of story flies today.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like the people who liked Dragon Ball and Dragon Ball Z as a kid, even in Japan, they're adults now.
Yeah.
And they kind of have, like, a higher... They want more out of those shows, right? And, like, even the kids now, like kids watching anime now, they're not... They didn't grow up on 10 minutes of charging because it didn't exist. They didn't exist.
Yeah.
Right? They grew up on, like, totally streamlined story plans. Yeah. So it'd be weird to see if they do have, like, those... If, like, the whole series, they only have two big battles... And, like, that's because most of the time was taken up by charging and flashbacks.
Yeah. The other thing, too, is, though, another anime that does something sort of similar has always been Sailor Moon.
Mm-hmm.
In that it's just, like, episodes of Monster of the Week filler.
Yeah.
And almost, like, no story.
Mm-hmm.
And with Crystal, that's what they did. They made a proper story.
They made it one that was true to the manga.
And I don't like it.
You don't like, you want that filler? Like,
it's so dry. Like, that's why I don't, like, I still keep it with Crystal, but I wait till there's, like, 10 episodes before I watch it.
Oh, okay.
Because it's so dry. Mm-hmm. And I've realized everything I wanted from the show, it's actually what I don't want.
Yeah, it's that give and take, right? It's, yeah. You can have that personality and you can have that character, but you're going to have all this filler time where these episodes don't actually mean anything to the overall story, or you're going to have that streamlined experience and you're just going to mow through everything.
Yeah, that's why I think Crystal's so boring. Because, but...
Like, I honestly haven't been watching Crystal because I have the books.
Yeah.
So, like, I didn't find the books all too boring, but maybe it's different actively watching the show than it is
I'll tell you what, panels. I'll tell you what it is. Like, in the old Sailor Moon show, those filler episodes, well, they didn't mean anything to the story. You always got to learn more about the characters.
Yeah.
And that's why people had favorites.
Yeah, right.
Because that was the time when they got to... When those characters got to express themselves. In Crystal, they don't have that time.
They're just dudes with element powers.
Yeah, and they're okay. The only time they show up in the show is when they need to use their power. And then they bounce.
Yeah.
But yeah, but that's something else for another story for another time. Dragon Ball Super. It looks promising from the first episode.
100%.
Looks promising.
If this was their chance to like try and hook people into watching more, they did it.
Yeah, I'd be curious to know the opinions of those who have no Dragon Ball upbringing, and this is their first.
Yeah, that would be great. Like, if anybody listening, we would love to hear, like, if you didn't watch Dragon Ball Z as a kid, or you, like, have no Dragon Ball experience, but you wanted to see what all the hype was about, and you watched Super, like, definitely write in, or go on Facebook, and write on the group. Like, I would love to see what your opinions would be on that.
Yeah, because, even though this first episode was super random, I couldn't imagine what it'd be like if you knew none of the characters.
Yeah, right, because it's just kind of an information overload on who all these people are and what their personality is.
Yeah. Like, if you didn't know who Piccolo was, you'd probably think he's the villain.
Yeah, that guy on... Yeah, because they show Piccolo just as a guy on top of a tower, just chilling.
And he's stalking those two... That couple. That cute-looking couple.
Yeah, so...
And you wouldn't think that Gohan's, like, one of the strongest people in the world.
Because he's a fucking Poindexter.
Yeah. But yeah, it looks pretty good.
We'll definitely watch more, and then we'll see later, I guess, if we'll do, like, midway through.
We'll do, like, a redux.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll go back. Don't worry.
But yeah, I highly recommend.
Maybe every couple, like, every five episodes, we'll do a check-in or something.
I'm down.
All right, time for picks and weeks. I'm going to open up this section. My pick this week.
What is it?
Pretty good one.
Tell me.
So today is July the 5th as we're recording.
Mm-hmm. You know, then, stop. Every week, you're like, I gotta maintain this magic. And then you just break the magic. Like, what do you...
Right. It's July 5th.
Okay.
And 6th.
Oh, okay.
Anyways, today was the day of the British Grand Prix.
Okay.
Oh, my God. Best race of the season so far.
Okay.
I think everybody should watch it. It's great.
Was there a Dragon Ball cameo in it? Like,
no, but... get this. Guess who started at the front?
Your boy? Lewis Hamilton?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And who's number two beside him?
Sebastian
Vettel? No.
No. I don't know.
His teammate in the same car. Of course.
I forget his teammate's name.
Doesn't matter. They're the German cars.
Okay.
Okay?
So, that's Germans.
Because they're so fast, right? Like, they're dominating the sport.
It's boring. That's why I'm not watching it.
You know what happened when the lights went out?
What?
They both got overtaken.
By who?
By Williams.
What?
Yep. And they had and the Mercedes couldn't get around them.
Really?
It was nail biting intense.
Did it hurt you?
I was like, oh my God, are they gonna lose their winning streak?
It's not that their car wasn't fast enough. It was that the Williams guys just kept them out from getting ahead and just blasting off ahead. Like, were they always cutting them in corners and stuff and like keeping them behind them? Or
yeah, it's more like. The Mercedes still has the fastest car.
Yeah.
But the problem is their speed relies on the fact that they can run in clean air.
Okay, like unopposed. No, like they want to go up front.
Yes.
Yeah.
But because they have to chase another car, the aerodynamics of their car can't be fully utilized, so they lose speed when they're following someone else.
Yo, all or nothing.
So.
Dang.
And they could not get around.
That's hilarious.
And then halfway through the race... rain hit and they just became so exciting. I'm like, oh, It's like they're driving on ice. I'm not going to spoil how it ended, but it was fantastic.
That does sound really good.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Okay.
Like, Ferrari made all the wrong calls, and then rain hit. Maybe they made the right calls.
Oh, my gosh.
Rain always makes the race better.
What, you mean unexpected weather?
Yeah.
In the middle of a race?
Because it was, okay, because first it was like, light drizzle. Oh, we were wrong. That's a shower. But the shower only lasted like a minute. Then like, oh, fuck. It's dry again. Now what? Oh, we were wrong. Thunderstorm.
That's awesome. That's so sick.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was pretty good.
So big props to the weather.
Yeah.
For making an exciting race.
Thank you, classic British weather, for making another classic British Grand Prix. That's what
picked. That's it?
Okay. It was just F1 story time.
You're just trying to indoctrinate people yeah. to watching F1.
Yeah.
All right. My pick of the week is about Batman, Arkham Knight.
Yes.
We talked about it last week.
I like this game.
Yeah, that game is apparently really good. And as we talked about last week, that game is also apparently riddled with problems.
Yeah, probably.
And so Patrick Klepek over on Kotaku wrote a story about, and he got some inside sources, people working at WB, that game was willingly or knowingly shipped as broken as it was.
Yeah.
And so that's not a big deal because, like, in programming, there's a lot of things, there's known shippable bugs.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's a bug that you don't have time to fix before release, and you can fix post-release, but it's not, like, it's not broken enough for you to worry.
Yes.
Right. But the thing is that there were so many known shippables that it all culminated into being a broken game. Yeah. So that's why the PC version isn't available now and stuff like that. And it was just a really interesting inside look on what goes through a developer's mind in that kind of instance. Because developers don't want to ship a broken game.
No right? one wants to ship a yeah, broken game.
Everybody wants their product to be the best it can be. But sometimes, like, you just gotta ship it. Like, you can't lose any more money on a product. And, like, some dude up on top's gotta make that call of, like,
go.
Listen, just get it out the door. We can't spend time on this anymore. Right. And it was just, it was a really cool and kind of more humanizing look at, the video game industry. Like, people on Twitter and, like, all that were attacking the developers and stuff. And it's like, it's not their fault that the game shipped. Like, they wanted it to be good. But yeah, it really brings like this human element to usually these like big faceless organizations, and like it's a reminder that people actually work on these games.
For clarification, this is just the PC version.
This is just the PC version, but it does culminate into all the versions because while the PC version had the most bugs and the one that it was the only one that was taken off market, the other ones aren't also they're not perfect, like, but they're more minor bugs than anything.
Yeah, like, I'm playing the game, I don't think I actually came across a bug that was...
Yeah, see? Like, yeah. So some people are coming across, like, little small ones on the console, but it's mainly the PC one that's getting all the attention because it got taken down.
And I think that's the interesting point. I think the fact that they let the PC one go as it is, I think that just... Maybe it's just the way I view it, but it's more like... console sales are just that much more important at the end of the day.
Yeah, right. So, like, I wonder, like, I always hear people of, like, oh, like, PC is the way to go and stuff.
But... Yeah, but I don't think, like, I understand, like, the whole, at the moment, PC is kind of, like, where you want to be if you want to play all the games at the best fidelity.
Yeah, or like, not. At 4K.
But I do think that that crowd of people is very insignificant compared to everyone else who's just like, I'm gonna buy a PS4.
Yeah, that's like, that's the thing, like, just look at the Wii, like, like, so many people were introduced to video games just because of that, and they're gonna be looking for consoles
yes
if they want to get back into it, right? And it's the PC crowd is a very vocal crowd, but I don't think they make up a big chunk of the gaming populace, because, like, if you want to play Batman at 1080p on highest resolutions at 60 frames on a PC, you need a $2,000 PC. Like, you need, it's a big entry point rather than going and picking up a $400 console.
Yeah, and I do think that's why Warner Brothers was like, well, whatever. So we lose a couple sales here.
Yeah.
Like, the majority of our profit comes from...
From the console, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a great read. It's a fantastic read. He has people who are on the game testing. They're anonymous sources, obviously, so they don't get fired or in trouble. But yeah, he has people straight from WB game testing, and they're like, these were all known. Like, just the, it was mainly the difficulty of working on the new platforms was harder than they thought it would be.
Yeah.
And it just, everything kept piling on each other. So, yeah, it's a really interesting read. You should, I highly recommend it to check it out.
Sounds cool. I think that's it for major picks I was, or weeks or
yeah.
news. I don't think there's anything big.
I guess a quick one is go check out the extended Uncharted 4 trailer.
Sure.
So the one they showed at the Sony press conference is only half of it. There's a back half that's like even cooler than that.
Mm.
So,
oh, the behind closed doors.
E3 yeah, the behind demo? Closed or yeah, behind closed doors E3 demo.
I should watch that because I heard that's like apparently really cool compared to what
it's
they showed.
Super cool.
You know what else was cool that they that was behind closed doors?
What,
the Tomb Raider demo?
I haven't seen that. No,
that's really cool. So
they show gameplay or
it's all gameplay.
Oh, snap!
Yeah,
all right,
and it's more about. Lara being able to
raid tombs.
They didn't do that.
Oh,
but they show that like yeah, your main mission now is like you go through tomb solving puzzles.
That's yes.
But what they showed was like her in the winter in some mountain. Mm-hmm. But she was going through and she was like picking flowers and stuff, like gathering items.
Oh,
so okay. That like she would get mushrooms, and then she would get like fur and stuff, and she could make poison arrows.
Oh, that's cool.
And the whole focus of the I think the demo was to show that like. You gather all this stuff around in the environment
yeah.
to build your inventory.
That's pretty sick.
And, like, she can only hold, like, two poison arrows at a time.
I like that. I like that a lot. It's not just going around popping open crates with your crowbar anymore.
What else? It opened up as, you know how in the Batman games they have the Predator missions where, like, you're Batman in the room and you have
okay.
to take people out?
Yeah.
So the whole thing opens with that.
That's nice. That's cool.
Where, like, it's a camp. It's a camp of militia soldiers and, like, there's a fire in the middle. And she's at the edge of the camps, and she has to take them all out.
Okay. I always like those things, like in Far Cry, the outpost, taking down outposts, or...
Yes.
Like, even back in Rainbow Six Days, like, Terrorist Hunt.
Yeah.
Stuff like that, so...
Yeah, no, it's a cool-looking demo, too. Yeah.
I'll have to check that out.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's it for my picks. Or my picks.
Yeah, sounds good. The only other thing I heard is Metrocon, Null North sort of outed that there's Last of Us 2.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah.
Get wrecked.
They were like, what are you working on? He's like, oh, I don't know.
Some zombie stuff.
I know that Naughty Dog, they're working on The Last of Us 2, but I'm not going to be part of it because my character was killed.
Oh, he just did it, like, by accident?
Yeah.
Or was that sounds like it was out of spite. Like, he's just like, I'm not in it, whatever.
Oh, he's like, well, my character, you know, unfortunately, is universally gone, so I can't be part of The Last of Us 2, but I know what they're working on.
That. He's just like, and then after that, he's like, keep composure, I just dropped that bomb.
That's what it was. And then... And then when they asked Troy about it in a separate interview, he's like, I have no idea what they're working on.
Good old Troy Baker.
I have no...
I don't have no recollection
I don't know
such.
If they're working on Last of Us 2.
I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
But the interesting thing that actually came from Nolan North's mouth was about Uncharted 4.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you know this, but Amy Hennig is not on the project anymore.
Okay.
She was the original creative director behind 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah.
And she left for EA
yeah.
to work on the new Star Wars game.
Okay.
Which, by the way, Nolan North also revealed her new Star Wars game. Don't be surprised if it looks very Uncharted to you.
Whatever, man. She's doing what she does best.
Yeah. And he's like, and don't be surprised if you hear myself or a familiar voice in there.
Hey, Sully. I mean, Luke.
But yeah, no, he's like, yeah, so we, when she was still in the project for Uncharted 4... I did like 8 months of voice work, and I had this other character with me I was working with, and when she left and the new boys took over, the Last of Us team took over the Uncharted game, all my work was scrapped.
What?
Yeah. Everything was rewritten, and we had to start from scratch again.
Wow.
Yeah. I just thought that was interesting.
I wonder if that's frustrating for him, because he's still on the project, right? It's more work, but I wonder if it's like, maybe he got attached to that stuff that was written, or...
Yeah, he explained, he's like, well, I kind of get it, I mean... The creative director leaves, a new team comes in, why would you want to be working with work that's not really your material?
Yeah, right, it's not your material, that's true.
Yeah, and I'm sure on his end, it's not like he's not getting paid for
yeah.
the work he put in.
If anything, he's getting paid more.
Exactly. But I think that makes sense as to why Uncharted was pushed back.
Mm.
They need more time, because stuff like that happens.
And you know what? That's probably smart, yeah. because of what you said. Like, taking other people's projects and then trying to make it your own, it's like, no, just... break it down and make your own thing.
Yeah, I think what he revealed was like the general gist and main plot is still the same, mm-hmm. but there's things about it that we've changed dramatically.
Okay.
To fit a different director.
Okay.
But yeah, there you go. Anyways, time for weeks. I'm gonna talk about Batman because we talked about Batman.
Talk about Batman.
So I bought Arkham Knight last week.
Yeah, and you're like almost done. Everything.
Well, I beat the main story.
Yeah.
I beat every mission in the main story.
God damn.
Collected all the Riddler trophies. The only thing left for me to do is the you know those challenge rooms?
It's been a week, Vince.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is like when I beat BioShock Infinite in 2 days.
Yeah. Arkham Knight's it's a fun game. Here's what I'll say. If we look at the Arkham games, not counting Origins,
okay.
only the Rocksteady ones, it follows the exact same trajectory as the Nolan films.
Okay.
In that, one was like this underrated hit mm-hmm. that was amazing.
And it like introduced a bunch of cool stuff.
Two, Arkham City or...
The Dark Middle Chapter.
The Dark Knight, considered by many to be a masterpiece.
Mm-hmm.
Three, very good, but a letdown compared to the first two.
Oh, really? Okay.
And that's exactly how I feel about Arkham Knight.
Hmm.
Like, don't get me wrong, it has some of the biggest, best moments, but I think as a whole, it's not quite as good as the first two games.
What would you say your favorite out of the three is?
The first one.
The first, okay, Asylum. So like, just like the movies.
Just like the movies, I like the first one. Okay. Yeah. Okay, I always like the first one because, though... I'm not a fan of open-world games.
Well, let me tell you a little story, Vince. You're not going to like games for the next couple years.
I know.
Because it's all open-world.
That's why I really like Tomb Raider. Because it's structured like Arkham Asylum.
Or it's like Metroidvania style.
It's the 3D Metroid.
Yeah.
It's what currently is Metroid. That's why I didn't really like Arkham City as much as Asylum. But no, it's Arkham Knight's really good. The problem is, I think... This is the third game in the series.
Okay.
And at this point, I think the team was put in the situation where it's like, we've been doing the same sort of shit for the past two games.
Yeah.
This one, we got to do something different.
Batmobile.
And they threw in Batmobile. And like I said, the Batmobile is fine. Like, I actually really enjoy it. The problem with the Batmobile is there's just too much Batmobile.
Okay.
And there's not enough game mechanics developed or centered around the Batmobile for it to be interesting.
Okay.
Like, everything that you do in the Batmobile in the first hour, it doesn't evolve from there.
Huh. Like, there's no upgrades that make your combat drastically different? Or...
Nope. The upgrades are you can shoot more missiles. You can...
Well, yeah, it's like standard stuff. It's like, you can lock up to three targets.
Those are the only upgrades.
Oh, that's...
But, like, the actual, like, mechanics of the combat or the puzzles that involve the Batmobile do not get any more interesting after what you see in the first hour.
Okay.
And what makes it worse is that... So, the first time you have to do combat in a Batmobile, they throw, like, seven tanks at you, right?
Yeah.
And you throw them out, and you're like, that's great. By the end of the game, the last mission is, how's 45 tanks?
How's all the tanks?
Yeah. And it just becomes a battle of attrition. It's not even interesting anymore. And that's the game's biggest problem. Like, when you compare it to Batman's arsenal.
Yeah.
Like, whether it's the combat or you're stalking people and taking them on, stealth-wise, you have so many options to
yeah, like freezing people, fun. Doing a bunch of stuff.
The Batmobile, you don't have that. You're just like, okay.
It also seemed like, I was watching you play today, even for travel, like, when I first saw you last week, you were driving the Batmobile everywhere, but now now that you've gone through the game, you're just grapple-hooking everywhere.
No, that's different, because you saw me doing New Game Plus, and I haven't unlocked the ability in New Game Plus
yet. So do you still prefer the Batmobile for travel around, or...?
It depends what I'm doing. If I need to get from point A to point B, I'll drive.
Okay.
But if I'm, if I know the location's on a rooftop, I'll half drive there, and then I'll launch out of the Batmobile.
But there's no, at no point are you still, are you just like, F it, I'm just going to grapple hook all the way to my destination?
No.
Okay. So, like, I guess that was my mistake, because I didn't know that you hadn't unlocked it in that point in the story, but...
Like, I'm sure for most people, the grapple hook is a lot more convenient, but the thing is, they made the smart decision where whenever you hop into the Batmobile, your GPS is always on, and it always routes you to the shortest way. And it doesn't matter how fast you glide, the Batmobile is always faster in a straight line.
Okay.
So, I always pick that. But the fastest way is a combination of both.
Oh, okay.
Like, instead of having to cross a bridge...
Fly.
Just fly across the lake.
Okay.
Right. And then...
And again, your Batmobile on the other side.
Yeah, because you can call from anywhere, right? You could just make it appear on the other side.
It's Epona.
Yeah. But yeah, so that's the problem. And with all this Batmobile forced upon you, that means less... and less of classic Batman stuff to do.
Just beating the crap out of people.
So this game has a lot less of just arena fights, a lot less going into rooms and doing the Predator stalking stuff. Like, it's almost non-existent.
Wow, okay.
A lot of it is really just you're using the Batmobile for everything.
Hmm.
the story is okay.
I, like, just before you do anything, like, I honestly don't want to hear anything, like, just, like, story point-wise.
Oh, no, I'm not gonna do that. I'm just gonna say, like, it's clearly not written by the guy who wrote the first two games.
Okay.
And you can tell that because there are lines that are crossed that I feel like you're like, would Batman really do that?
Huh.
Or you're like, well, I know, like, I'll say this right now, this is... When Rocksteady said they wanted this to be the end of the trilogy, they're going to make it.
Okay.
This is the end of their trilogy.
This is the way Batman dies?
Well, that's how the game opens up. Yeah, this is the story of how Batman dies, yeah. But yeah. it's weird, though, because you don't know a lot... Like, yourself... You don't know a lot about Batman's fiction,
correct? I know the main stuff from the movies. I know, like, a little bit about Red Hood. I know a little bit about his ending stuff when he's old Batman, but, like, it's all very fragmented knowledge. Like, I don't know, like, I don't have really a straight through line of what Batman is beginning to end.
Yeah. That's the biggest problem with the story. I don't know who it's written for, because if you don't know really a lot about Batman, you won't understand what the significance of the story is here.
Okay.
But if you do know a lot about Batman, nothing about the story will be surprising. You'll be like, I know what this is.
Okay.
And this is what I said last week when I was like, oh,
I know. You have like one of two people who you think the thing is.
Yeah. Well, technically it's one person I knew. The other one was a long shot, but it was always going to be one guy.
And it was?
Of course.
All right.
But yeah, like the whole through line is, uh-huh.
Like, oh, so like because you know Batman, you're just like, oh, this, yeah, that's the only way.
Yeah. This is writing on the wall, like, and then they push it even harder on you, like, wow, you're not even making even a mystery anymore. It's fucking obvious at this point now. Okay. But yeah, so it's like, if you're a fan, you're going to be disappointed that it's exactly what, like, the story goes exactly where you think it does. And if you're not a fan, you're going to be like, why is this important?
Okay.
Like, who is this guy? So, that's that. But yeah, like, it's it's got some of the best moments in the entire franchise, but it's just not my favorite. And it sucks that the true ending is locked behind 243 regular challenges.
Okay. Did they do that with City too?
There
was something behind all those Riddler trophies.
You had to fight the Riddler.
Oh, okay.
And then put him in jail.
All right, that was it.
Yeah, but I don't think like that there was a true ending locked behind it.
All right.
But even the Riddler trophies, they're not even interesting in this one. Like, in the first game, they were my favorite, and I think the second game.
There were a lot of really cool stuff in the second game where, like, when I solved that puzzle, I'm like, ooh, that's clever. That's really interesting how they did that. Or, like, how they forced me to use this mechanic in a way I never thought I would use it.
Yeah, okay, in this game, it's not like that. It's just, like, there's 243. Go get them.
Oh, are they just agility orbs? Like,
sort of. Like, there's still puzzles, but they're not... I didn't find them to be as interesting anymore. And I think that's just down to the fact that, well, listen, we had two games before where we tried to be thinking outside the box all the time.
I'm tired of thinking, man.
And you want, and we're going to throw in an extra 100 for this game. So at this point, just we're going to place him in the world.
Yeah, so we'll get them. The other complaint I've been hearing about that is people would have rather had quality over quantity in terms of Riddler trophies.
Right? I would have loved it if I had 50 just brutally tough ones to get.
That'd be cool.
And it's weird because the whole game centers around the Batmobile, right? Mm-hmm. But you won't be able to get some of these trophies unless you are a fan of the series, because for some of the trophies, they ask you to use mechanics that you've only ever seen in the prior games. Like, they never used them in Arkham Knight.
Oh, wow.
And so I was looking at some of them, I'm like, how am I supposed to get this? And I'm like, for one of them, I looked them up, and I'm like, when did you do that in this game? And it's like, you didn't.
But it's just still in there.
Yes, because they're just legacy mechanics from... Oh. And then when I saw that, I'm like, oh, shoot.
Like stuff like the tightrope walking?
Yeah. Like, oh, wow. That line launcher is never used in the main game, but you have it from the outset.
Okay.
Like, I think last week I said when you start Arkham Knight, you have all your equipment from the previous game.
Yeah, yeah.
But, like, none of that stuff is utilized in this game.
Hmm.
So...
That's an interesting decision.
So just, a lot of this stuff is just used for Riddler trophies.
I don't know if that makes it clever, if that makes it cheap.
Like, it's a bit of both.
Yeah.
Like, it does make you have to think, and I've always liked the Arkham games because I've always thought they were the perfect difficulty. They're never tough, but they're always enough to give me a challenge mentally.
Okay.
And that's pretty good. So, yeah. The DLC is very disappointing.
Was it, you said it was like the Harley Quinn DLC was like super short?
Yeah, so the Harley Quinn DLC I think you get for free if you buy the game.
Okay.
It's 5 minutes long.
What?
I like playing as Batman in the main story, I've probably put a couple, maybe 20 hours.
Okay.
So when I was like, whew, done the main story, I'm going to tackle this DLC. And then I was done in 5 minutes. I was like, what?
Was Harley Quinn even fun to play as, or was it just more Batman?
Well, technically, all the characters play the same.
Okay.
They just have specific abilities. Like, Harley Quinn doesn't have grapple hook.
Okay.
And she doesn't have a lot of the abilities.
Did she use her hammer at all, or...?
Yes, she only has her hammer.
Oh, okay, so she's not doing, hand-to-hand.
Well, it's all hand-to-hand, but, okay, Harley has one thing that's cool. She has a thing called Mayhem Mode.
All right.
And she becomes psycho, and every time you hit square, it's a takedown.
Oh, wow.
So, when you're caught in a circle of enemies,
you
don't have to fight them. You can just mash square. and it still counts as combos.
Huh.
They're just takedown combos.
That's cool.
She could just take everybody out with her bat. It's pretty cool.
Can you use her in any of, say I went to an arena and I want to choose my character.
No.
Can I do that?
No.
That's just...
All the arenas or all the AR missions are all Batman.
Okay.
But even that, I don't know if you remember in City and Asylum, but there's just a lot of arena or predator room challenges to do, right?
Yeah.
This game is toned down. There's only four fighting ones and four predator ones, and then there's 20 Batmobile ones.
Okay.
And it's just more Batmobile. I don't know if you remember the Scarecrow missions from the first games.
It's break down reality and go platform through these things so Scarecrow doesn't see you.
They're exclusive to PS4 this time. There's only three of them, and they're all Batmobile races.
The checkpoint races?
Yeah.
That's disappointing, again.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like the core game is fun, but everything surrounding that core game is really disappointing.
Yeah. At some point, it just turned into... The Batmobile is literally the transportation vehicle for getting to cool point to cool point.
Okay.
And along your transportation and travels, you have to fight with it.
That makes that game sound less fun.
Yeah, if there's any tip I would give to people playing this game, pump all your upgrade points into the Batmobile.
First?
Yeah, all of its weapons.
Okay.
You want to make sure the thing could take out drones instantly. Because that'll definitely...
Just smooth the process, I guess.
Because at the beginning, it was taking me forever. I'm just like, okay.
And you can always counter and mash square on people until they die.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah, the combat upgrades are more for just how awesome do you want to be.
Okay.
And you can always save that till later. Speaking of which, you can't get all the upgrades in one run. You have to New Game Plus it.
What?
Yeah.
Why?
That's why I'm on New Game Plus, because I need all my points.
So, like, there's no way for you to, like, not do the final mission and then, like, grind out stuff?
So that's... Whoa, bro. You playing that Tsum Tsum?
No, I'm not.
Anthony.
No, I'm not.
Wow.
Sorry.
Wow.
I thought my phone was on mute, but then the
media... You know you're addicted when...
Someone sent me a heart. I gotta accept it. Because if I don't accept it within the hour...
The drugs are real!
If I don't accept it within the hour, I don't get 200 coins.
Oh my god, an hour?
Jeez. Then I gotta send out hearts. I'm sorry.
But yeah, no, I mean, it sounds like I'm shit on Arkham Knight, but I actually really enjoy it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the thing, like, we all do that, I think. It's like, we find a couple things and we like... stay on them so long that people think we hate them.
Yeah.
But we actually like stuff that we do.
Like, I really, really like this game. It's very, very good. Like, I'm not going to buy the season pass, but I really want the Batgirl DLC.
Apparently it's really good.
My only fear is that if it's, again, 5 minutes, I'll be super pissed.
Especially, I wonder how people who bought the $40 season pass feel right now.
Yeah, that's why I didn't buy it. I was going to when I was playing the game because I'm like, oh, I really like this. But
yeah,
we'll see.
Okay.
I know there's a Red Hood DLC that I'm kind of pissed I didn't get.
Wait, is that like a Xbox exclusive or?
No, it was a pre-order thing.
Oh, okay. Sure it'll be later.
Yeah, they all come out, I think, September.
There'll be that like definitive edition Batman one where it's like 10 out of 10 says every single thing.
Probably.
And then
you can't wait,
comes with all DLC.
Can't wait. But yeah, that was Batman. It's good. I like it. I recommend it. If you like Batman before, you'll like Batman again.
Okay,
like there's no changing that. And then I played more The Witcher again. That game's still great.
Still Gwentin.
Yeah,
Gwenting.
Yeah. I'm hunting dragons and playing cards on the side.
Do you have to play card games against dragons?
No.
Aww.
No. No. I did this one mission where I asked the farmer for a sheep. And I said, oh, because I needed to hunt a dragon. He's like, what are you going to do with it? I'm like, well, I need bait.
The sheep's going to get messed up. Like,
and he's like, ah. And so I took it and I just let it. Like, it was, you had to be a sheep dog. And you lead the sheep into the middle of the forest. And then you wait there, and this dragon comes and is like... Argh.
He's like, oh, sweet, a sheep.
And then I'm like, no, you're mine, dragon.
Should have poisoned that sheep. Should have poisoned its wool.
Oh, that's a good idea, but... I didn't do that. Yeah. And then the summer anime season kicked off.
On?
Everywhere.
Crunchyroll.
On Crunchyroll. On Funimation.
Whoa, get your... Listen, non-Crunchyroll anime watching services out of here, alright? We're a Crunchyroll house!
Okay. Okay.
We're a Crunchyroll family.
It's fucking ironic. Because I looked at all the streaming simulcasts, and I'm like... Crunchyroll is like two that I want to watch.
That's why I gotta start watching JoJo's Bizarre Adventure.
Funimation is like five.
I guess.
So you know what I did?
Switched.
I subbed to both for all the anime.
Just two timing. Wow. Unfaithful. How are our sponsors going to feel about this?
I should contact them and see if I can run simultaneous sponsor ads.
Yeah. We should have like attack ads, but like it's like Crunchyroll says they have this many simulcasts.
Yeah.
But fun. And then like you do something the opposite, but you run both the ads in the same episode.
Yeah. That'd be great. Anyways, so I watched a lot of anime, but I'm only going to talk about one.
Tell me.
And it's still early on. The other ones still don't debut till next week. But
Food Wars.
No. My favorite so far, early running, is called Aharu Cross Machine Gun.
Okay. So I heard this is about Airsoft.
Uh-huh.
Tell me more.
All right. So Hataru is the student council president.
Of course he is.
Okay.
He's the main character.
He's a hero of justice. You think, okay, high school, 16, 17, right?
Okay.
And, you know, you think hot-blooded young youth, right, wants to be protector of the just.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and he's got this reputation of student council president loves to fight. Not because like he wants to be a badass, because he likes to save others like a hero.
Okay.
So the show opens up and he's like, this nerd is getting picked on and by these like tougher looking boys. And it's like, give us some money, senpai. We need some money for the arcade.
Yeah.
And the nerd's like, no, I don't want to do it. And then Hotaru shows up and he's like, fight me.
That's it?
Yeah.
Okay.
And the tougher dudes are just like, that's the crazy president who loves to fight, right? No, sorry, we're leaving. Bye.
We're out of here.
We're
peace
bye.
Out.
Bye. He's like, man. It's like, what? No one wants to fight me? And they're like, we're just kidding. And they try to attack him while his back is turned, but nope. Hero just prevails.
You don't attack a man who loves to fight.
Yeah.
Because he has fought. He knows what's up.
Yeah. Anyways, it's a new school year, so like he actually just moved to a new apartment and stuff and blah blah blah. And then there's this really like gangster looking dude.
Like boncho looking, like
yeah.
pompadour.
Smoking a fag, talking about tits on the
phone.
Whoa.
Listen, alright, this is getting too R rated for this podcast.
Yeah, so he's smoking, and he's leaning on this on Hotaru's new apartment door.
Okay.
And he's talking like obscenities on the cell phone to some third party. And Atara's just like, this is an evil doer. This is an evil doer.
This is a roommate.
And he punches through the, like, punches into the door to scare him.
Okay.
And the gangster just like, he gives him this, like, dirty look. Like, he's gonna fight.
Yeah.
But then that just switches into starry eyes. And he's like, you're perfect.
Okay.
And he's like, please, fight with me.
What?
And Stuff happens.
Fights happen.
Stories continue on. And it turns out this gangster dude is actually looking for a third member for his airsoft team. And this boy, with his hot-bloodedness, just happens to be it.
I want to know if, like, this happens often.
Yeah.
Like, in real life. Like,
yeah.
Some kid's just, like, walking home, and he, like, he does something that, like, accidentally shows skill in X sport. Another bystander is watching, and he's like, oh, he's perfect for my curling team. Like,
yes. So the show sounds pretty crazy, right?
It sounds very trope heavy.
So you want to know the twist?
Tell me the twist.
Hotaru is a girl. Our hot blooded youth is a girl.
All right, is she portrayed as a guy the whole time?
So when the show opens up, you think it's a boy.
Okay.
Right? But within the first 30 seconds, it's revealed she's a girl.
Okay.
Because after the fight with the bullies at school,
okay,
her best friend, who's obviously, like, pink hair, big tits, like, girl.
Ditsy girl.
Goes up and goes, hey, you're not wearing a bra today, are you, Hotaru?
Wow, just straight anime.
Just straight up.
Wow.
So they reveal. And she has this thing where it's like people always mistake her for a boy because she's a tomboy.
All right,
she's a hero of justice.
It's very ambiguous.
Yeah, but it's not that she wants to be a boy. It's just how
she came out.
Yeah. Okay. And she just happens to like boy things.
Okay. She's Chie.
Yeah, but so the great thing is, like I told you that she's like this hot-blooded youth, and like we love those type of characters, right? And I'll even go in to say that, like, as guys, we like dumb shit.
Yeah, we like real, like, yo, seriously, Gurren Lagann's pretty good, but
like, yeah, we like a lot of
dumb shit.
And not only can we not explain why we like it, it's impossible to explain to a girl why we like it.
Yeah, like, how can I explain JoJo's Bizarre Adventure to a girl? It's like, no, it's awesome because they respect each other so much that they're going to fight each other to the death and, like, do the school. And, like, this, that makes no sense. Why would you?
Yeah. Now, of course, I'm saying this blanket statement. I know there are, of course.
Nope. That's it. No, everybody is under one cover.
There's no exceptions
to
the rule?
There's just one to the other. That's it. Okay. There's no in between.
So that's okay. That's what makes this show really good. She's a girl, but she... So she's into, like, what I guess girls would perceive guys to be, like, heroes and stuff.
Okay.
But when it comes to, like, the dumb shit, she doesn't get it.
Oh, okay.
Right? So, like, there'll be, like, cool lines that our gangster character will say.
Yeah.
And she'll be like, you're just an idiot.
But meanwhile, he's like, that was sick.
Like, okay, so the way that he recruits her to And all obviously, he doesn't know she's a girl.
Okay.
Right? It's just everybody else knows she's
a girl. Does she have to keep it hidden from the team that she's a girl?
Yes, but she doesn't actually want to join the team.
Oh, okay.
She loses a... Okay, she... They duel. Because something happens where her best friend gets hurt by this... macho...
Dude.
Although, he doesn't really get hurt, okay? Because what happens was... I'm going to spoil it a bit. He's a host.
Oh, okay.
Right? And someone... When it says that he took her money, it's because that was his job.
No, you paid for these services. Like, this is how this works.
Yeah, and Hotaru, she doesn't know this kind of stuff.
Okay.
Because she just doesn't.
Yeah.
Anyway, so they duel with guns, airsoft guns, right?
Yeah.
And she's, like, amazing, but she just doesn't know how to fire a gun. And at the end, the line of speech is like, how can you, as an adult... take this game of toys so seriously. You should be ashamed of yourself. And he says in remark, it's because I'm an adult. I can take toys so seriously.
That's pretty cool.
And yeah, and I thought to myself, you're fucking cool.
Yeah, guys, that's a cool line, man.
And she's like, what?
Yeah, that's such a cool line. Like, I don't...
But that's exactly what it is, right? She's a girl, and it's like, yeah, girls would not find that cool. She'd be like, you're just an idiot.
That's so cool.
Yeah, and so that's what makes the show interesting. It's this really interesting character study of a girl trying to understand, like, the stupidity of boys in this really ridiculous setting.
I like to phrase it as, like, the genius of boys.
Yeah.
You know?
And then, of course, meanwhile, our gangster hero is actually, like, the super typical girl archetype. Like, very nice, very caring.
Oh, yeah, totally. They gotta flip it. They gotta make the appearance.
Yeah, of course. So he's, like, his real personality is he is, like, the super kind, looks out for others, always wants to help. Yeah, it's really interesting. I read the title, I'm like, Aharu Cross Machine Gun. This has gotta be fucking dumb. And I watched it, and I'm like, this is excellent.
It's amazing.
Yeah, and, like, of course it looks good and whatnot. And, yeah.
And this one's on Funimation?
This is on Crunchyroll.
Oh, snap.
This is, like, one of the only ones on Crunchyroll I want to watch.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to watch Food Wars.
Yeah.
And I'm going to finish Sound Euphonium.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. You should watch Sound Euphonium.
Mm-hmm.
It's about a euphonium. It's like a, it's like a small tuba. Mm-hmm.
We'll see. I have to make my first pass of anime cuts.
You're off the list. I'm sorry. Yeah. Polar Bear Cafe, we can't have this.
Yeah, yeah. The other one I like is called Raka, Braves of the Six Flowers. Six Braves of the Flower.
Okay.
Just watch that one. It's pretty cool.
Is it about stuff?
Yeah, it's about legendary heroes.
Six? Are there six of them?
Yeah.
All right.
It's pretty cool.
All right, I got it. I think I'm good.
Yeah. Not really much more to say.
If you watch JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, I'll watch the Six Warriors.
No, stuff. You're going to watch Machine Gun.
If you watch JoJo's Bizarre Adventure,
no.
I will watch Machine Gun twice.
No. We're just going to watch Machine Gun after this.
Just watch JoJo. So good.
JoJo's not on Crunchyroll.
It is.
No.
They take it down?
I don't know.
What are you talking about? Star Wars Crusaders.
It doesn't show up in my queue, so.
It was on Crunchyroll, I swear.
Well, it's not in my queue.
Well, we're going to check. When we go upstairs, we're going to check our sweet Crunchyroll accounts.
It's not in my queue.
No, I'm going to show you.
It's on my queue.
I'm going to show you.
But yeah, that was a bit lengthy. That's all I did this week.
Okay.
That's all I did this week.
Well, we talked a lot about one thing.
Yeah, we did.
Okay. I'm going to keep it with, like, visual media. I saw Inside Out.
Did you?
Yeah, the new Pixar movie.
Did you watch it in 3D?
I did not watch it in 3D.
Oh, so you couldn't hide your tears behind the glasses?
Listen, I only cry for when it's important, all right? These tears are a scarce commodity.
And
one escaped me.
Oh,
one escaped
my
me.
God.
So I've realized after looking at a Reddit image, all Pixar movies are about if X had feelings. So, like, what if toys had feelings? It's Toy Story. What if monsters had feelings? It's Monsters, Inc. Then now they've just gone full circle. I'm like, what if feelings had feelings?
Yeah.
And this, like, this whole movie is about, for people who haven't seen it, or the trailers and stuff, it's about feelings. So in this little girl, Riley, she's 11. She's going through some changes because she's moving from her hometown in Minnesota to San Francisco and, like, trying to get adjusted to all these changes. But inside her head are her feelings, and they're personified by different characters. There's anger, fear, disgust, sadness, and joy. Uh-huh. And those five come together to make Riley's personality. And they control what she does, how she can be happy, how she can be sad, and stuff like that. And something happens where people have these things called core memories. They are memories from your past that are so near and dear to you that they're super important, and they shape how you are as a person.
Okay.
So some of Riley's core memories get shot out of a tube into long-term memory where they're not supposed to be. So joy and sadness get caught up in all the confusion, and they get shot to long-term memory.
Oh.
So only anger, disgust, and fear are left to control Riley through this emotional time she's going through, moving to a different city, losing all her friends and stuff like that, while joy and sadness are trying to find their way back to the main the main hub, central command, where they can balance out Riley's emotions.
Right.
And so there's two separate stories going on, one about Riley adjusting and how she does without fear or sad, or without sadness or joy.
Yeah.
And then the story of the actual feelings and going back into Riley's past and stuff like that.
Yes.
And this movie is, like, it takes that concept, and it is super clever. Not just about emotions of a child at that time, but also about just stuff that happens in your brain. Like, so all your personalities are sectioned off into islands, and in between those islands are shortcuts, but it's not a solid thought. It's not, like, a clear thought. It's abstract thought. So, like, they try and go a shortcut from one island to the other by going through abstract thought, and they get caught, and, like, their whole character body changes into, like, Picasso's, they turn into 2D images and stuff like that. And the movie is just super clever, like, even more so than, like, any other Pixar movie I've seen in recent memory.
Wow.
Or that I can remember. But it is Pixar, Disney Pixar. It's super quality. Like, the movie's fantastic. And I wouldn't say, like, the part, the tear-jerking parts, like, I wouldn't say, it's nothing right now is as bad as Up. Up is the benchmark for me. I've never seen Toy Story 3, so I can't say anything about that.
Yep.
But that whole first section of Up, where it goes through the old man's life, that was, like, the saddest moment in Pixar movies, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But, like, they get you. They get you in certain ways, man. Oof. Dirty tricks. The dirtiest of tricks. Like, and sometimes you see it coming, and it's like, you just gotta hold it. The movie's really good. Like, yo, highly recommended. Highly recommended. Do you have any thoughts on that, or?
No, I want to see it.
Yeah, it's really good. So then, I'm gonna just go straight to games. Earlier in the year, I talked about Costume Quest 2. I got that.
Yep.
And I finally finished it. For some reason, I just stopped playing it, and it turns out I was like, two boss battles away from the final battle.
Yeah.
So I went through that, and that game's great. Like, I can't really recommend it to people because, like, the combat system is very bare bones. You have to go based on, like, I really love it for the writing and the humor and the stuff in that game.
Yes.
So, like, even though the combat is pretty whatever, even, like I don't love it that much, the story and the writing really kept me going. That's why I kept playing it.
Right.
So, like, if you're not into that stuff, like, if you need kind of solid gameplay mechanics to get through a video game, then, like, maybe this isn't for you. But I absolutely adore those games. Just, like, the Double Fine writing is really great.
Cool.
I've been playing more games from the Nihon. This one is Ketsui, Hellbound Bonds. This is the Bullet Hell I bought by Cave.
Right.
So, people who don't know, Bullet Hells are top-down shooters that fill the screen with bullets, pretty much. And usually these games have some sort of like gimmick or mechanic that'll help you survive. Or, like, so a Western example that people might have heard of is Jamestown. Yeah, so Jamestown is an indie game that came out on PC. It came out on PlayStation Plus and PSN a while ago. And that's the same type of game. So if you've ever played Jamestown or you've ever seen gameplay of Jamestown, that's what a bullet hell is. But so like the mechanic in Jamestown is you can like fill up a meter by collecting cogs, and then when that meter fills, you can shoot out a barrier around your ship that eats bullets, and it gets you score bonuses. So in Ketsui, the gimmick in this is proximity. So what happens is when you kill an enemy, you get chips, and the chips have like computer chips. Sorry, they have a number from 1 to 5 on it.
Okay,
and depending on the number you get, you fill up a bar, or you fill up a meter,
right?
Like a counting meter. But if you kill enemies from far away, like if you're at the bottom of the screen and an enemy's at the top of the screen, you kill it, you get a 1. If you are up close and personal, right in their face, and you kill an enemy, you can get a 5. And then again, the distance in between those two numbers, you get 2, 3, 4. And so
okay.
The closer you are to enemy, the more risk you're taking to do more damage, the higher your score will be. The thing is, though, when you get any number higher than a 1, your timer starts ticking down, and you're in sort of a bonus mode, where every enemy you kill gives you a multiplier of the stack you've collected. So say you have 1,000 in the bank, because you've just been collecting 1s, right?
Okay.
And then you get a 5. You will constantly, as that timer's ticking down, the 1,000, it's counting down from 1,000, the last number you got, all enemies will drop that number.
Oh.
So, say I got 1,000, and I went up to an enemy and I got a 5. So now 5 is the one in the bank, the timer's ticking down, and no matter how far away I kill an enemy from, it'll always drop a 5.
Interesting.
Yeah, so that's how you gotta play the score mode. Or in the score mode, that kind of score gimmick is really only after you've...
beaten the game?
Not beaten the game, but just gotten a handle on how bullet patterns are and okay. how things work. So the thing with bullet hells is that bullet patterns never change, but bullet patterns are so crazy that it's going to take you a while to find like an optimal route, and also to have the skill to get through these bullet patterns,
right?
Because bullets are literally filling the screen, and your whole ship isn't a hitbox, only the pilot is. So it's just a little hitbox right in the center of your ship, so your ship can like graze bullets, but yeah. you won't die. But if you get hit in the center, then you're gone. So like you can imagine, like with that kind of hitbox, these
they come really fat and they come really tight
yeah. in tight packages. But like I really love these kind of games, and Ketsui is really fun. There is a special loop that I don't think I'll ever be able to get to. How it works is that if you beat the game without dying, without using any bombs, and with a score of 100 million or more, or 120 million or more, you go into something called the Ura loop. And it's you go back in time pretty much, and you loop back around to the first stage.
Okay.
And it's like an EX hard version of the game again. And when you get through, at that point you can use bombs and do whatever. But it's like exponentially harder than the first run. And when you get to that, you get to the true final boss. And apparently that boss is so hard that only like a handful of people have ever done it.
So like, you're never going to do this.
I'm never going to do it. So I looked up that true boss on the internet.
Yeah.
That's crazy. There's no way that would ever happen. It's just like a blanket of bullets that are curving left and right. And like the worst patterns for me are when bullets cross each other.
Yes.
So there are certain bosses in other games where bullets will come down vertically like it's raining. Just yeah. imagine that. But they'll also come horizontally at the same yeah. time. So you're dodging from both ways, and like these, and they're not even squares, right? Yeah. So you're you can't just stay in one place. You got to constantly be moving up and down and doing stuff. And like, there's a lot of that, but there's a lot of that coming in three directions instead nice. Of in two directions.
Nice.
And it's just, it's nuts. But that game's super fun.
Doesn't sound like it.
It's an interesting challenge. It's like, it's heavy on action, but it's also a puzzle at the same time. Like, I find them oddly relaxing for how
so wait, fast do you, it is. You have to run through the game twice to get to the final boss?
To get to the super true ending, you have to first run through the game with not dying, no bombs, and 120 million points at the end.
Yeah.
And then, in that same run, you don't go to a menu screen and come back in. You just immediately go again from the beginning.
I see.
Yeah. But yeah, that game, I really love Bullet Hells. I've been playing with my arcade stick. Because it allows us more precision than my analog stick. But the D-pad's pretty good, so like maybe I'll try that after. But the last one I've been playing is Way of the Samurai 4.
Okay.
So in Japan, I was just in the mood for samurai. Like, that's why I bought all those Yakuza games and stuff. And I kept seeing box copies of Way of the Samurai 4, and I'm like, I held off because there's an English version out on PSN.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I bought that, and I've probably talked about, like, people who listen to this podcast know I love that series. These games are games where your choice, like, if you've ever wanted a game where your choices matter, these are the games.
Okay.
The Way of the Samurai, how they work is that there are, there are very short storylines, but those storylines branch out into anything.
Yeah.
Like, they go all over the place. So you always start from the same starting point, but every decision you make affects how characters react towards you,
mm-hmm.
what things are available to you. And even if you, like, even if you're halfway down a storyline, right, you can just kill the quest giver.
Nice.
And just be like, F it, I'm just going to change midway, and that'll change into a different story, and, like, it's these very condensed areas and very condensed storylines, but they branch out into all these crazy unique ways. Oh, so this is the
type of game with, like, multiple
endings? Yeah, so, like, okay. you need to play through this game multiple times to get multiple endings. And if your character makes it to an ending, you can save that character with all your stuff, and you can run through that ending again. So how I play these games, I play them like roguelikes.
Yeah.
So if my character dies, like, there is an option for you, like, to restart from this checkpoint, but I just don't do that.
Yeah.
Like, my character is dead, and that's the end of that story. There's a whole bunch to do in these games. So this one takes place in Japan still, but it is
of
It is of the time where Britain was coming around in their boats, trying to make trade agreements with different countries and stuff like that. So there are the anti-immigration gang, which don't want any people from Britain coming in and, like, tarnishing the Japanese name.
Right.
And there are people from the government who want to bring in the British, and like, it'll help the economy and bring in new types of materials you can't get in Japan and stuff like that. And so right off the bat, you get off a boat, literally off a boat, and they're just like, you get thrown into this thing where you can either side with the people who are anti-immigration, or you could side with the government.
Cute.
And then from there, if you side with the government or you side with that, that has multiple branching storylines. And then that has multiple branching storylines, and it flows out from there.
Uh-huh.
Way of the Samurai 4 is a lot more wacky than other entries in the series. So you're like, you can, like, be a male samurai dressed in British queen clothing, like the really elegant ball gowns, cutting down people. Just like really wacky Japanese kind of stuff.
That does sound pretty weird.
Yeah. Just like that wasn't in the previous entries.
Mm-hmm.
But again, these are games I really enjoy, and they're niche little things. It's only $20 on PSN, so it's not a full price game.
Okay. PS3?
Yeah, PS3. And you get more than what you pay for. There's a lot of game there, and it'll last you a while if you really get into it and try and see all the branching paths and, like, hidden missions and stuff like that.
Cool.
Yeah. I really enjoy it. And then more Diablo and more Yakuza.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Cool.
As you can see, I'm not really delving in deep on one game.
I can just tell. Like,
picking out of a bunch. You
should pick one game. Stick with it.
I really should.
You know what game you should pick?
What?
Batman.
I don't have it. When you're done, let me borrow it.
Batman's calling your name.
It is. But I really want Splatoon.
You do, but that's only half a game.
I want to be like a kid, and then I want to be a squid, and then I want to be a kid again.
But
can I turn into a squid in Batman?
No, but you can be the Batman.
Oh, I can be the Batman. I can't be the Batman in Splatoon. I can only be a squid or a kid.
Exactly.
Man. These decisions.
You can be the Batman.
Be the Batman. Man. No, okay. I've done it. I've made a decision live.
You're gonna be the Batman?
No. I'm gonna be a samurai, and I'm just gonna beat all the Yakuza games first.
That's not the Batman.
Yeah, it's like the Batman.
No, Batman doesn't kill.
It's like if the Batman had a sword.
Batman doesn't kill.
It's like if the Batman killed with a sword, and he lived in feudal Japan.
Not the Batman.
Okay, I'm gonna beat all the Yakuza games.
Good luck.
Yes, because those games are long.
Good luck.
Translation guides take forever. All right, that's
it. All right, then. Cool. That's it for us. Goes right in at tnib.letters@gmail.com.
Like this listener right here. No, we don't.
No.
Aw.
You can always comment on the YouTube page.
Remember, like, if Vince wants to review a Gundam, he'll do it. Like, you asking to review Denial the End will not make him review Denial the End any faster. Just FYI.
You know, I have those Gundams.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
I just know that, I know how you work.
Yeah.
Being in a tight, enclosed space with you for 5 years has taught me the ways of Vincent Sanchez.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter if you have them. You'll just get to them, like, way later.
Yeah. I will. I did buy a giant Transformer.
Oh, the green thing?
The green. What the fuck is wrong?
I don't know. It's some green
thing. You don't know who Devastator is?
No.
Even TJ knows.
I don't know who Devastator is. I only know Beast Wars.
The first combining Transformer?
The only Transformers I know is Beast Wars, just straight up.
You have this toy?
How tall is it?
I don't know.
You just, how much is it?
$200.
Oh my god!
It's a gift set.
Like $40. Oh my god!
What if I told you that each one of them, okay, there's six of them. And each one of them is, this big? 8 inches tall? Each one?
Wait, so did you buy six separate toys or did it all come in one box?
It's one big box. Oh. It's the gift set box.
Who are you gifting it to?
Myself.
I don't know if that counts.
I'm kind of pissed because in the States it's 140.
Yeah, but their dollar's like insanely strong. I know.
At Toys R Us it's 190, but Walmart had it for 179.
Dang. Can always trust on Walmart.
Roll back. Roll back. I'm excited though. I'm gonna open it up and I'm gonna mash them together.
Are you gonna do a let's build or a let's combine?
No, I'm gonna paint them.
What?
Yeah,
whatever. What's with the deal with this weather worn Optimus you want to do?
Oh, because you know how in the movie, in the latest movie Optimus Prime, when he first shows up, he's like this rusty piece of shit.
Yeah,
the toy they made for that is that model but brand new.
Okay,
but they don't have like a rusty version. Like, that's movie accurate.
You want the garbage version?
I want mine to look like shit. So I kind of just left one in the garden.
All right.
Like rain or shine. And I was hoping that like the sun would bleach it. We've been having thunderstorms and I was hoping like the water would do stuff to it.
Nothing. Wow.
Nothing.
Except
what?
Your gun's gone.
Yeah, I lost the gun. So I don't know if a squirrel took it.
Squirrel's like, sick, because I'm out of here.
Not that the gun was any good to begin with, because it didn't even look like... To be honest, it's not even the gun that he uses in the show.
In the movie?
In the movie, yeah.
Okay.
Because for some reason, he comes with Megatron's gun.
Oh. Wait, Megatron as a gun?
No, Megatron's gun.
Oh.
From a previous movie.
Okay. Wow, weird.
Yeah, so I don't even know. But yeah, I was hoping at least like the screws would have been a little rusty by now.
Nothing?
No, it's been 2 months.
It's toys, just...
Like, I put it out there a month before we went to Japan. And I came back, because I was in the shed looking for something, and I'm like, what the hell, whose toy is that? And I'm like, oh, that's mine.
And nothing.
And nothing.
Not even like some dirt on it?
No,
like...
to be fair, I painted it first, so maybe that's why nothing has happened. Like, the paint is just...
You ruined it.
And like, in hindsight, what I should have done is taken the bear toy and thrown it out there.
Okay.
But the only thing I could do now is I think I'm just going to take nails, heat them up with candles, and then just poke holes in them, like bullet holes. I'm going to put one through his head.
Man, your dedication to calculated toy destruction knows no bounds.
Yeah. You know who I am? You know that kid in Toy Story blows up the Army Men? I'm him with a brain.
The ginger kid?
Yeah.
That's dick.
Yeah, I'm him but I have a brain.
If I only had a brain.
Yeah. Okay, we've gone on long
enough. Okay, that's actually the end.
Yeah, amazing. Every time Blayman's not here, we go over the limit.
Push it to the limit. The
limit. Thanks for listening. See you guys next week.
Past the point of no return.